Prepare to be captivated by the business story of the week, hosted by me, Shaheen Shan. Join us on a journey through the twists and turns of entrepreneurial triumphs and setbacks. Immerse yourself in the narrative and witness the magic that turns dreams into reality. This is Business Story of the Week.
And welcome back, folks. Welcome back to Business Story of the Week. I am your host, Joshua. And today, like many other days, we talk about success. We talk about perseverance. But more than that, we talk about life. We talk about the stories behind these successes, because the root and, you know, this, the root cause or the root of every success in business, in entrepreneur, in any journey is life. And we need to find that balance, right? And we do have the perfect person, the perfect guest for you today. Eric Balance is a consciousness creator, a visionary, an entrepreneur, dedicated to helping leaders unleash their potential and create an impactful business. And I imagine this goes deeper than that. I feel like it doesn't even do justice when we say impactful business with what Eric Balance does. He draws from experience as, you know, like as a Tony Robbins Platinum Partner, his journey of spiritual awakening to guide individuals and businesses in aligning their core beliefs with their ventures. And this is very important, ladies and gentlemen. Eric is recognized for his contributions to Forbes Entrepreneur Success and other prestigious, you know, publications and awards that he has received, where he has been featured in big, big publications and, you know, media features. But more importantly, he is discussing today personal development along with business growth. And he has appeared in a lot of renowned podcasts discussing leadership. And today I am honored to have him himself, Eric Balance, here on the show. Eric, thank you for being on here. How are you doing?
Joshua, so kind of you with the nice, welcoming and, I'll try to live up to all these expectations or perspectives. But, the most important thing at the end of the day is just who we are and how we treat each other. And I think that, you know, behind all of these things that have been said so kindly by you and others, I think that there's an even more deeper responsibility that we have to each other. And for that, I thank you for taking this responsibility in showing up, because I can speak from experience that, you know, sometimes doing things like this can be uncomfortable, or meeting new people can be, challenging, and we can really get stuck in a place where it puts us on edge or makes us feel uncomfortable. But you're shining so brightly, brother. You're being yourself, and you're willing to really bring out the best of others by stepping up to the podium and standing tall. Wow. So I just, first of all, want to thank you for your kindness and for your invitation to be here with you, brother.
Wow, Eric, that means a lot. And I think that's the first time a guest has actually like put the host first and like kind of put that gratitude forward. And that feels great. It feels the validation. I will be honest, the validation feels fantastic. And, you know, yeah, I put my all into this. I am happy to meet guests like you who, you know, I can learn from, not just me, but the audience and listeners as well. And yeah, Eric, the message that you put behind in your venture, Balance Ventures, by the way, for audience and listeners, it's profound. It really is, because it's not just, you know, it's not just no longer about profit anymore, but you're putting this concept of self first, but a more, you know, profound sense of self, and returning that kind of self-love, self-care, but also having this kind of leadership inside you so you can lead others. Of course, I'm not doing justice to what you do and what you guys do at Balance Ventures. But before we really get into that, Eric, I want to go way back. I always start the conversations this way, the episodes this way. What is the story of Eric Balance? You know, we always start with story, business story of the week. What happened when you were a child? Anything else that, you know, any pivotal moment in your experience in your life where you say, okay, this is it. This is what I'm going to do. And, you know, I'm going to teach people. And, you know, yeah, what is the story of Eric Balance?
Well, you know, I think the story is never over, right? Where the story continues and the journey is forever. It's an eternal one, in fact. But we're not oftentimes taught that. And, you know, in a society that, from my perspective, was growing up, was not encouraging of a lot of opportunities for the youth. In my experience, I had noticed where there was a lot of limitations. There was a lot of separation, and there was a lot of misguided knowledge that was being offered as gospel or as truth or as honesty. And I rebelled a lot. In fact, I rebelled so badly that, you know, I pushed my parents away, I pushed my family away, and I pushed a lot of society away, and I started using drugs. I became a crack addict for 3 years of my life. And this addiction, it drove me it drove me just to, like, darkness. It drove me into a place where I believe my soul really needed to go to understand how dark I could be and how much life really meant to me. But it did, I didn't see that until my parents and their faith helped me understand that. And their faith was really what changed my perspective. And so there is, you know, a responsibility that I don't think a lot of people realize that we all have with life. I don't know if I know I didn't realize it. You know, I didn't know why I exist. Ever since I was a little boy, I knew I had some sort of a big vision and or a big mission or a bigger responsibility in life. And society doesn't encourage that. Society actually tries to make you a machine. And there's a lot of manipulation that happens in the thought process of our future generations. And I fought like heck to break out of that. And I did whatever it took because I really do believe that we are bonded to something greater than ourselves. And we have a responsibility to follow that feeling. Because really the feeling is why we are here. And that's an infinite level of communication.
That's true.
That feeling gives us an understanding of what is right and wrong in our own nature. It doesn't mean that what's right and wrong to you, Joshua, is the same as what's right and wrong to me. Of course. Just means that knowing what's right and wrong is within you and you feel it first. And if it doesn't feel right for you, your nature needs to follow a different direction.
Right, and that is true.
I really found that when our reality is telling us what is best for us and what is not best for us based off of a broken reality, perhaps getting more curious about what's within me is something that will help me define and step into a more responsible role.
That is true. And it is such a difficult thing to do, right? Because Eric, I'd like to also let you know that that resonates with me because it's something that addiction is also something that I struggled with myself. And I understand all that when you say that, you know, like taking that step, that being responsible, that there's something wrong with my nature right now. And it's one thing to to understand that, it's one thing to acknowledge that, but it's also just as difficult to step out of it because no one likes responsibility, right? It's the first reason why we got into addiction, because we want to escape that kind of thought that I have to be responsible about myself first and foremost. But it takes bravery to know that I have to be responsible. It takes another level of bravery to take yourself out of that and admitting that there's something wrong with my nature and I need to handle that. I need to take care of that. I need to take care of myself. And Eric, that's probably relatable to a lot of people as well, right? We probably have audience and listeners as well, trying to be businessmen, trying to be sober entrepreneurs, but, you know, are trying to struggle through that. But talk to us a little bit about the bravery that it took. And I understand that you also have a significant shift in your focus when it came to, you know, establishing balanced ventures. What were the steps leading on to that throughout your life and then understanding that, okay, this is the mission that I want to take on?
Yeah, you know, it's a journey. And, you know, it's interesting because at the beginning of my journey, it was Eric Balance Holdings, and I really literally held myself. And what that means is that it was all about me.
Right.
And I really had this facade. But before even that was, and I'll go back to like an even more refinement, is as like, sometimes I think that in life we compare ourselves. You know, we compare ourselves to our teachers. We compare ourselves to people we resonate with. We compare ourselves to people that we want them to see us, you know?
Right.
And for me, it was like, I always would compare myself to Tony. You know, I would always try to be like him. I would always try to like be like my teacher. I wanted him to see me. But what I realized is that I just needed to see myself, because what I've seen in him and what I understood in him, or what I resonated with him, was actually always in me. So it was never about him seeing me. It was actually him just reflecting the best parts of me.
That's true.
When I realized that, I took a really deeper look at myself, because then I started actually owning who I am. I started owning my own identity, and I started to recognize that I have a unique gift and philosophy towards life. Right. And no longer do I need his acceptance or his acknowledgement or validation. I just need to be and validate myself, because as a result of that, I get to then deliver my uniqueness, my value, my devotion, my integrity into the world. And it took a long time, because I think there are a lot of people around the world, they would even say to me, you know, like, hey, Eric, you're not fucking Tony Robbins. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, come on.
And it's interesting, because it's like, I don't think I, like, maybe unconsciously or subconsciously, like, I was just modeling somebody that I really admired, you know? But I wasn't trying to be like him. I wasn't doing it intentionally anyways. It wasn't coming from a conscious place. And maybe from other people's perspective, it was. But what I realized is that those patterns of those modalities, or what it was like, you know, I just needed to really own my nature and not need to be so competitive. And I don't think I was competing with him, because, you know, my teacher, Tony, you know, I call him my teacher still, because he is. And I don't think that he's ever been like somebody that I've competed with. But again, it's not been consciously. So maybe unconsciously it has.
Right.
And so I'm really thinking, you know, is like, when you allow yourself to be encouraged and empowered by the people that you admire, and you allow yourself to see the greatness in them, and you recognize that actually they're just a mirror of what's great in you, then instead of fearing that, you'll want to learn from that.
That is true.
And what I realized is that as I went over the journey around the world and I traveled the planet, I met a lot of people, and I would have this energy of just like, let's make it happen. Let's move into creation. Mm-hmm. And I didn't always know the answers. And I was very open with that. I didn't always have the answers. I just was in, I wanted to put my energy into finding solutions and creating. And people would be so, they would see that I had the energy, but they saw that I didn't have all the solutions, but I'm like, it's okay. We'll find it. We'll figure it out. Let's do it together. And it scared them. Mm-hmm. It scared a lot of people. And I realized that that was a common problem in the world. And then I asked myself, I said, why is it that people feel like they need to have all the answers themselves without getting mm-hmm. curious enough about the environment and the people around them? Mm-hmm. And what I realized is that this has been human nature for thousands of years.
Right.
Unless you step into a higher level of thinking, a higher mm-hmm. evolution of psychology, of knowing, mm-hmm. of you know, level 4, level 5 thinking. Like, this is mm-hmm. something that people just don't necessarily understand or comprehend, because mm-hmm. they're always mm-hmm. working on their own security, their own needs, their own responsibilities, and mm-hmm. they're not thinking about what's going on around. Mm-hmm. And so instead of getting curious about what people can offer or bring to the table or what they need,
yes,
they're only focused on what they think their map of the world or their level of consciousness wants to bring to the world.
Right.
And so by being pushed by so many... Sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead. That's great, because I wanted to add to that, because you mentioned about talking about like Tony Robbins being your mentor, being your teacher, emulating him, and then finding out that was all inside you. That was all very important. And this mission right now that you have of like bringing back over the world or returning it to the world, it really starts with self first, right? Finding that out, that you have this kind of heart, so you could bring back and you could return it to the world. And now it requires a different kind of thinking, because it's not just about you anymore, but it's also about the world and everyone else. And how have you come to the point of applying this in business? Because this just seems like such a novel concept when it comes to ventures and when it comes to entrepreneurship, because, you know, the common thread is like profit first, right? And how do you take that? You said level 4, level 5 kind of thinking. How do you bring that into the business world, into corporates, into executives who kind of just shrug this off? How do you deal with that?
So businesses, oftentimes, they're only thinking about, like you said, profit. And this is like based off of the economic system that we've been mm-hmm. raised in.
Yes.
And, you know, fundamentally, our economics have been established economics versus Austrian economics. Okay. And established mm-hmm. economics is illusion of free market and capitalism. So even mm-hmm. though people say, oh yeah, like, you know, I love America, I live in capitalism, I don't believe it's a free market. Because of the way that the manipulation of the dollar has been inflating for the past, you know, centuries.
Yes.
But specifically since 1971, since the Nixon took away the gold backing. Because people are thinking in this type of profit first, it creates mm-hmm. Element of needing to focus on money or materialism mm-hmm. before the value that's created.
Yes,
and it's because it's been done for such a long period of time. So mm-hmm. let me take you back to why businesses are only focused on profit first.
Please.
Profit isn't a bad thing, but it's mm-hmm. how you're really profitable. It's it's how are you encouraging your staff? How are you creating that nature? How are you believing in and building that culture within a dynamic?
Yes.
And so if it's only about making a profit and it doesn't matter what the value of each human is bringing to the table, then you're missing the point of your responsibility as an organization, which is also an organism.
Right. Of course. Of course.
And if you go deeper and you start to get curious about the money, well, that's a whole new element of storytelling that has been happening for a very long period of time since the Roman Empire. But let's just say that the economic system is not what we think it is. And our wealth and our value has nothing to do with money.
Right.
The value that we bring to the world is inherent in our nature. It's how we show up with power and grace and truth, not dishonesty and corruption and lies.
Right. Right.
And so if we've seen those patterns, and if any of us take some time to do a little bit of a history of recognizing why what happened in the Weimar Republic, or get curious about why the funding of the wars had happened and what was the benefit economically to going into war, well, then we'll start to get fascinated by why is it that this same dollar that has been manipulated for such a long period of time, why is it that we haven't done something about it?
Right.
And then we might start recognizing that that's never been the actual value. The real value is, and always will be, is the human spirit.
Of course.
Is the person sitting in front of us.
Of course.
The person connecting deeper to us. And the responsibility of knowing that we have to listen to one another. Because if we pay more attention to what one another are saying, and we stop talking so much and start listening and start implementing the things that are benefiting to each other, then we'll start really embodying a nature that is greater than our own.
Right.
Because it's not just in benefit to one of us, it's in benefit to all of us.
That is true. And Eric, this is become such a common thread, especially when it comes to, you talk about the economy, you talk about the capitalism, you talk about the corporation, because humans have become a commodity, right? We've gone past that value that a person is, you know, a person is the one who just makes us what? Who just makes us money. But we've lost sight of the values of that they bring as a human, as a person, into the company. And it's just, you know, we've lost that. We've completely lost that concept. And we need to go back to that, into bringing back that into, you know, our company culture, so to speak. So your company, I understand, emphasizes this, like creating businesses that igniting passion, inspiring teams, and impacting the world. When it comes to teaching these concepts to the companies, are there any specific strategies or principles that you begin or even start with recommending to entrepreneurs, to executives, to build such a purpose-driven, let's call it a purpose-driven and impactful venture? Where do you begin?
So there's six steps to this, and I invite anybody that's listening to really write these down, you know, because it's important.
Yes, please.
And a fundamental, the first step is for influence.
Okay.
So how do I influence myself? And that allows us to understand, have we taken the moment or the curiosity to get curious about who we are as individuals to be strong enough to influence the way that we show up in the world? And so does that mean that I need to get more curious about my vertical? Does that mean that I need to have more confidence? Does it mean that I need to speak more? Does it mean that I need to have better listening skills? What do I need to do as an individual to influence my own nature so that I can be even more expressive in who I am?
Right.
And so if you're an organization and you really believe that as a leader of your organization, then you will influence yourself enough so that you can make the impact on your immediate community, which is your team, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're a solopreneur or a single entrepreneur working by yourself, then you need to influence yourself up enough to go out there and go create the second step, which is momentum. And so you want to go out into the world as an organization or into your organization,
right,
into your immediate community, to your executive team or to your employees, or as a solopreneur out into the world and build momentum. Mm-hmm. And so this is a dichotomy, right? So you're stepping into that space of momentum to then fundamentally bring out clarity to help people understand that you're there to really serve them with certainty.
Right.
And so by you stepping into that clarity of building that momentum, because you're going to be clear in your communication, you're going to be clear in your directive, you'll start to generate enough reach to start driving deals and start creating retention.
Right. Okay.
And this momentum will turn into monthly recurring recognition.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that will then also inside of an organization become the foundation of your team's desire to want to be able to come up with ideas to really drive the level of energy within each other's communication so that they are coming up with solution-oriented questions and concerns that whenever they see a problem, they're not scared to speak up. They're excited to innovate. They're excited to express. They're excited to move forward. Right? And so that takes us into the third step. And that third step is purpose. And focusing on the people, on the planet. What is it that we as business leaders, whether you're a solopreneur or a great organization, how are you driving that purpose, that devotion, that integrity, that those ability to drive deals, that influence, that ability to create that momentum into a purposeful cause, into something that is way more meaningful than just the profit at the bottom line? Because if you can encourage the first two of influence and momentum within yourself and the people around you, then as a result, that purpose becomes one movement together.
There you go.
And what strengthens that movement as a purpose towards people or planet, it starts to help you identify the fourth step, which is adversity.
Oh, of course.
And when you hit adversity as a group or as a team or as somebody that is driving towards a purpose together, then it's going to start easily for you to acquire more people into your reality. It's going to be easier for you to recognize that, okay, even though there's this adversity, either in a group, we can come and find another solution, we can figure it out, or by yourself, that you have the ability to recognize that all of these adversities are just temporary defeat, temporary failures. And these temporary defeats or temporary failures, they're helping you to learn so that you can start seeing things from a different perspective. So it's a way that this adversity helps you refine your skills to really go out and go into the fifth step of creation. So Tony says one thing, go out there and create, not destroy. And so if we are actually stepping into the fifth step of creation, then we have a fundamental duty of identifying that, okay, within an organization, we're encouraging our team or our culture to say, okay, guys, we have this adversity we're facing as a team. What can we do? And yes, the best leaders, from my experience, will always ask for help.
Wow, of course.
The best leaders, from my experience, will go and say, you know what? I don't understand this part, and I don't understand this part, but I know that these two parts can work together. So how can we make things happen and move forward and create a picture of possibility? That is what purpose-driven teams will start to cultivate during adversity to create their realities, to create new patterns. And that's what will change the nature of business and entrepreneurship forever. Because that will change the language of the way that we work together. Instead of competing with one another, we can say to the store or the supply chain down the road and ask for their perspective, because it's an open source opportunity to learn from each other, because we have a common thread and a common goal.
Yes, yes, yes.
And the final, sixth and final step that happens because of integrating all five beginning steps is transformation. You start to transform the culture within an organization, yourself, and the people that are around you. Because transformation, as a result of doing this within you, you start to transform the environment around you, the environments that you go and impact, the business acumen, the communication. When everybody's vibrating at a higher level or a more encouraging and empowering level, then as a result, that whole team, that whole organization, that whole community starts to shine, and it attracts more people because they feel like they can be safe in that environment to then shine as well.
Beautiful. That's beautiful. I love that. I love all those six steps. But Eric, what really stands out to me was moving from, you know, a movement, because now that the team is united, you can face adversity together. I love that little part right there. But now, all this coming together, transforming the organization, transforming the team, and bringing in more people actually into the community, because now they feel safer. I love it. It's a great way of putting together. I think any organization that looks at these six steps, it makes sense. It totally makes sense, because then it's a better picture, a better perspective into putting together that we're putting teams first, culture first, values first, before bringing in our profits, bringing in whatever, because these people, these are the things that actually bring us together. I love it. Eric, thank you for sharing us that today. I'd like to go back to a little bit on an individual level. Your book focuses on ethical selling, right? That was one of your book, and it fosters genuine. You talk about fostering genuine connection with clients. And again, I want to go back to this because it goes back to the individual level, right? And it goes against the grain, the common grain of what we've been used to when it comes to sales. Right, in today's competitive business landscape, everyone's thinking it's just, I need to just sell. But people are, you know, there's a mindset shift into coming into here like, yo, it's not enough. We actually need to be connecting with the client for us to be effective with this selling. How could entrepreneurs strike a balance between that? Or how can salespeople strike a balance between sales performance and maintaining authenticity with and trust with their audience, with your leads, with their prospect, with their clients?
Well, one of the things about ethical sales is being who you are, genuinely there to serve. It's not about you as an individual, it's about serving the person in front of you. And so although it's a sales script, I wouldn't call it a book, but you know, it's a script that I in a training that I put together. It's really foundational in the way that you're capable of actually building rapport.
Right.
And you see, relationships are, for me, what actually changes the nature of what's possible. The way that you get to build big deals and you get to manifest bigger teams, and the way that you get to work in cohesion to serve something greater than yourself, is about understanding that it's not about you. And so it's right. about a benefit to the whole team. So when you're speaking with somebody and you're doing a sale, getting curious about their needs before your own or your needs to sell mm-hmm. is what's going to help you refine the way of understanding if you can actually serve them, mm-hmm. you know, to really getting curious about their problems, knowing what they're going through, understanding their problems within their business, really identifying what key distinctions there are, and then okay. seeing how to navigate those truths and incongruencies and questioning even those, because sometimes people will say things that are, they don't even know that they don't know that they're lying to themselves. So challenging yes. it with love and compassion. Yes.
Wow.
Right. Here's wow. the big thing is compassion, mm-hmm. not getting back into an old self pattern of thinking, you know, oh, you know, but you said this and I said, but no, but just questioning again and with love and compassion. Hey, you know, I heard this, but what I'm seeing in the way that you're showing up, it's like showing up like this. And people will oftentimes say, you're right. Wow. I didn't even yeah. capture that. I didn't even, mm-hmm. I wasn't even aware of it. And, you know, we all have blind mm-hmm. spots, but having the compassion to point somebody else's blind spot out with love,
it's a big deal.
9 times out of 10, it's something that changes the nature of that conversation to one that will benefit. And again, at the end of the day, asking for the sale, from my perspective, is about perhaps offering your services mm-hmm. without needing to. Because in the past, and I think even in the sales script, you know, there's like, oh, can you do it now, or do a sale, like an active sale. And the thing is that active sale, I don't think works anymore.
Right.
I would change the nature, and I would say, hey, you know, like if you do need the few days or the few moments to think about it, yes, feel free. However, mm-hmm. I encourage you to take action mm-hmm. now.
Right.
Because the feeling is real and you're not mm-hmm. breaking away by creating a new story, 9 times out of 10, people will run away and choose a different story versus the one that you're holding that standard, right? So again, right. it's dependent on the depth and breadth of the sale. If you're talking a $80 million deal, you know, you're obviously not having one conversation, you're having a group and you're doing a lot of things. But if you're doing a high ticket sales call for $5K or something like this, encouraging that person
right.
to really step up to their own potential and right. make taking action now, after you've developed the rapport, after you've overcome any objections, after you've really understood what they are, mm-hmm. it only comes in a state of alignment when it's really in your nature.
There you go.
And it's actually congruent from both people, because again, from my perspective, I don't believe, you know, and I haven't done like the 5-10K offers for a while, but, mm-hmm. you know, these types of conversations in the past, for me, it was never about wanting them to take action if they didn't feel comfortable. I made sure that they were uncomfortable.
Wow.
Okay. Does that make sense? So I would actually encourage them to step into their discomfort mm-hmm. with love and compassion. And if mm-hmm. they still were not willing to go to the extra mile, then mm-hmm. I would be totally excited to hear them in a few days. But I would encourage with ethical delivery and making sure that their devotion and their higher self was speaking, not their scared or fearful state.
Wow. Okay. Wow. That's quite a perspective. Oh, for our audience and listeners out there, the name of this book or script is the Signature Sales Script. Am I correct? Like a cash flow You titled yourself the conscious cash flow consultant, so to speak. And it resonates to what you just said, because, again, I love that genuine compassion, love, and to bringing them into that kind of state and perspective so you can then, you know, help them through their navigate this kind of discomfort, so to speak. I also want to relate it back to the very first thing that you said. It's like, in order for you to do this, you have to know who you are so you can step into that authenticity, so you can, you know, be more authentically passionate, more authentically.
But you also have to know who they are, right? Like, so sorry to interrupt, but like, you have to get curious about them and their needs, right?
Yes.
You know, in the past, Joshua, like, I would just follow this script like it was a Bible. And I think that there's more depth to curiosity than just a script. Mm-hmm. And because so many of us are just so stuck in our head of thinking that we need to do things right.
Right.
That we forget that actually you're speaking to another person. And
of course,
this other person actually needs to feel you, needs to resonate with you, needs to connect with you.
Yeah.
And so
that's true.
People, you know, they're like, I mean, look at our world. There's so much distrust happening from system and government that we were brought up in, to a system to literally manipulate us for so long. So do you blame them for not trusting you? You know, like, building a connection with people is what is fundamental here. Because that is what is going to trump anything. That is what's going to bring the value in the world. That is what's going to change the nature and the safety for people that know that they deserve to be seen, heard, and understood. Because you know what, man? Times are, like, from my perspective, the old story and the people that are willing to play that game of manipulation and, you know, fuckery and all that, like, it's over.
They're going.
Your generation and mine, we're no longer willing to play that game, and we trust ourselves more than we've ever have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because people in this world, they're starving for, or they're drowned. Sorry, they're drowning in information, but they're starving for wisdom. And
this
is what we have to really trust within ourselves is. We all have this wisdom. We just have to trust ourselves more.
Yeah, and that's very true. And we're actually starving for genuine connection as well. We're so connected, more than connected than ever, but we're actually starving for that genuine connection. And I think we are primed to kind of like bring people together now and away with the old ways. You know, we're seeing that, okay, we just need to get together, stop using each other, stop manipulating each other. And I think, Eric, this is a perfect time to kind of wrap this up, but not before we start talking about your concept of regenerative culture and the potential impact of businesses and communities and all that, how bringing us together can form this, what you call regenerative culture. Could you talk to us a little bit about that? Delve deeper into how regenerative culture entails and how it can lead to positive transformations in society as a whole. And how do you see the future moving forward with this kind of concept?
Beautiful question. Thank you for asking. Regeneration is something that we are here to devote to our next generation. So, you know, sustainability from, you know, these sustainable goals and things like this that, you know, the World Economic Forum or, you know, has been diluting and, this, you know, businesses have been talking about. Yeah, okay, great. You know, but that, from my perspective, that's bare minimum.
Mm-hmm.
Regeneration is taking an active, responsible approach to our next generation, is saying, what do we need from amazing youth like yourself and others that I get to work with and I have the blessing, and actually putting our hands out and saying, what, here you go, here's how I can help you. Not necessarily needing to give them anything, but being right there next to them and figuring out how to find solutions. You know, you Joshua, I'm fascinated that so many people, they desire to want to help. And then I believe that they really genuinely do, but they then think about what's in it for themselves. Instead of giving more than they ever expect to receive, which Napoleon Hill calls this the divine economy. This is something that regeneration, when we start to think about not just this generation, we start to think about what are we doing for the next one and the one after that and the one after that, and what are decisions in the existing moment we'll start to do to start changing the nature of everything that we move forward into, and how our kids can pass on that nature, that consciousness, that awareness. We'll stop thinking about stealing our children's future, and we'll start taking responsibility for our behavior and start thinking about what we need to do for them. Yes. Because you see, the most fascinating thing of life is that we've been told our predecessors have focused so much on the bottom line and the dollars that they have decided and stole from us.
Yeah.
They have chosen consciously and unconsciously to steal from us. And it's our duty to not keep that pattern going. It's our responsibility to say enough is enough, that we have we're not going to be like, we're not going to keep doing what they have done to us. And we're going to take all that energy in, and we're going to have compassion. We're going to love them, and we're not going to fight. We're just going to build something better.
Wow.
And this is, my brother, what regeneration is, because as a result of that, we get to do something better for our children. We get to do that consciously, because now that we know, and you know, it's funny because a lot of people know, but they don't do anything. It's not actually really. Once you know, now what are you going to do about it? Wow. What do you choose to invest your time in? Do you choose to invest your time into a system that's broken, that's falling apart, that has not been conducive to reality and to the next generation? Or do you choose to devote your time into something that is actually building a better future?
Wow.
Those are the decisions that we get to determine, and that's when our true destiny will shine on.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. And that is, I was going to say, that is the call to everyone, right? That is the call to our future, to our present right now, to everyone who understands and resonate with these messages. And like you said, drowning for that kind of change and that transformation that we also desperately need in this time right now. And Eric, I am thankful that there are leaders like you are at the forefront that bringing this message out to us and reminding us really that, hey, something needs to change and it's all going to start in us. And I love this. I love this messages like these. And Eric, you talk about like a future society, a better world, a better future for our generations. I want to wrap it up with this question, so to speak. What are the future aspirations of Eric Balance? Where do you see yourself continuing this kind of mission? And where can we connect with you? Where can we see this mission of yours? Where can we find you? Where can we stay updated? And what is the future of Eric Balance?
Well, my brother, I'm working currently with an amazing youth group, and they're doing a youth festival in Portland, Oregon.
Wow.
Which I would love your listeners, your community, to really connect with, because they're doing 5 days of powerful integration. Wow. And they're bringing great thought leaders there, people talking everything from mind, body, spirit, finance, and the new economic system and how we are building it. And so by really being involved in this infrastructure or being involved, you can then, as listeners, people that want to really step into a new economic system that want to live based off of sovereignty and live out their passions, and really being involved in that youth festival is a fundamental component that if you go to rqglobal.com/youth festival, I'm just going to double check the, so it is, yeah, rqglobal.org/youth festival. This is an amazing cause, and it's also an amazing group of people that are going to be doing some beautiful things. So I am grateful to just be supporting them and being there for them as a mentor, as a support. And then, you know, we have a retreat for conscious entrepreneurs. So in July, we also have a balancemedia.ventures/Ibiza retreat, where we're hosting retreats for entrepreneurs anywhere that have anywhere from 5 to 1,000 people on their team that really want to integrate a more meaningful, responsible approach within their organization. And, you know, we're currently working a lot on building the infrastructure of the Bitcoin economy and really Bitcoin development. And how are we integrating that with the new monetary system and really focusing on building and curating and supporting the network so that we're securing and working with devotion, with integrity, and with the highest state of principle so that we can collectively leave this world behind better than when we found it.
That's beautiful. And I invite all our audience and listeners out there, check out rqglobal.org/youth festival. And where can we find you, Eric? Are you on Instagram? Are you on LinkedIn? We want to keep up with you.
Yeah, I think, you know, the best place to really, like, if you want to connect with me is probably LinkedIn. But right. I am very active in terms of my social media, and I share a lot of information on Instagram and YouTube, in terms of my podcast, the Resilient Minds podcast, where I speak to different thought leaders around the world. About, you know, the importance of what's happening, you know, currently in our system and how us as resilient people need to come together like a rose.
That's true. And to our audience and listeners, the podcast is The Resilient Minds. Am I correct? The Resilient Minds podcast. I invite everyone to have a listen there. Go check that out. Go check out Eric. Go check out Balance Media Ventures, ericbalance.com, everything. Eric, it has been an honor. I already told myself before this episode began, it's like, I am going to enjoy the topic that Eric's going to talk about. I'm going to put in my all because these are the things I love talking about, stuff like this. And you have brought forth that kind of consciousness that we can all, you know, strive for, develop from, you know, and build ourselves from. And it's been an honor. It's an honor having you on here, Eric. And I am in gratitude. Thank you so much.
Thank you, my brother. And I have one question for you.
Oh, go ahead.
If you had 3 days left to live, what would you do, brother?
Oh, man. If I had 3 days left to live, I would go around to all the people I love and I would tell them how much I love them. And I would, and not just people I love, strangers too. And I try to put forth all my energy, all my life force into saying, you know, just bringing out love and telling people that you need to love yourself first.
Thank you for your time, my bro.
Thank you so much. And to all our audience and listeners out there, see you on the next one.
All right. So here's the thing. We try to get a little bit better every day, but we can't do it without you. So if you like the video, make sure to like and subscribe below. And if you have any comments, just leave them in the space under.